fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
St. Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Please be seated. After benediction this evening, I'll be giving a little spiritual talk to the men of the parish. All men are welcome to come back to help to hall. The talk will begin at approximately 7 o'clock, and then there'll be an opportunity afterwards for some questions and answers and some discussion. At the name of Jesus, let every knee bend of those that are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When you hear the name of Jesuit, what do you think of? I imagine that those who are outside of the church or ignorant of the church might, influenced by modern propaganda, think of some nefarious conspiracy, plotters and secret societies and murders and all the rest as some of the anti-Catholic propaganda of the day and really of many centuries would indicate. But the church, when she hears the word Jesuit, must doubtless think with very great gratitude for all of the devotion of these shock troops of the papacy, for all of the work that they did for so many centuries, since in the 16th century, the Company of Jesus, organized along military lines by a former soldier, a military man, Ignatius of Loyola, was first set up. The Jesuits, in their prime and for centuries, were the church's mainstay to, during the time of the Protestant revolt, to keep entire countries safe and Catholic so they would not fall into the Protestant heresy. And by means of their missionary work throughout Asia and the New World, North, Central, and South America in particular, in order to win new countries for Christ. Then by means of their work of education, to save for Christ countless families and classes of society and to have a decisive influence for the good by means of the Christian education of youth. In fact, when you think of the name of the Jesuits, you might ask yourself, what would the devil have to say about them? And he would tremble when he remembers how many victories were snatched out of his claws and how many defeats were soundly administered to him century after century by the followers of today's saint, Ignatius of Loyola. One of the great saints of the Jesuit order, Alphonsus Rodriguez, gives as a rule, one of the ways that you can tell if someone is possessed or not, is whether or not he would be able to or willing to recite today's introit from St. Paul. It is the introit for the circumcision, the feast of the Holy Name of Jesus, that we recite on January 1st as well. At the name of Jesus, let every knee bend of those that are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. I heard recently of a case, in a very recent case, in which the possessed person said the whole phrase, but he wouldn't say of those that are under the earth, in other words, of those that are in hell, but he would only say of those that are above the earth or above the heavens. The Jesuits certainly conquered the devil many, many times. And that doubtless explains the reason, in a sense, why there are no Jesuits left today. Other orders still have little traces and remnants. There's a few of the traditional, of the old, or even an attempt to reconstitute Franciscans, Dominicans, Benedictines, Carmelites. But when it comes to Jesuits, they have vanished without a trace. All of them swallowed up under the Novus Ordo. For those of you who remember the good Jesuits of yesterday, with their wonderful work, especially in this country of Catholic education, you might ask yourself, as we often do, well, how could that be? Well, the answer to that, of course, is the Latin phrase, corruptio optimi pessima. The worst thing is the corruption of those who are the best. And the Jesuits for centuries were absolutely the best. They were the folk shock troops. They were men who submitted themselves to long, long years of rigorous training. A Jesuit usually was unordained until he was 33 years old to go and to do, finally, with his wonderful spiritual and educational and character formation and background, theology and all the rest, to go and to do whatever the Pope needed him to do for the good of the church. That is why the Masons, the rationalists, and the enemies of Christianity prevailed upon the Pope just before the era of the Revolution to suppress the Jesuit order. And the Pope, in his weakness, went along with that. And then the Jesuits were, once the Pope was restored to the Vatican and to Rome, the Jesuits were restored, and they did great work in the 19th century for the papacy. But by the 20th century, the work of the corruption of the Jesuits had begun, unfortunately. And so you have such unworthy Jesuits, for example, as Teilhard de Chardin. All of their work against the Pope and against the Catholic faith and against all of the truths of our holy religion. So that even by the 1940s, good Jesuits were in certain countries beginning to be persecuted. And then finally, the whole order was subsumed into modernism and destroyed. And I imagine that the devil thinks that he gained a great victory. But of course, it is only a temporary victory, because in the end, our Blessed Mother will crush him. She, who is the queen of the Jesuit order, will crush him decisively. So today on the feast day of St. Ignatius would be, on the one hand, a good occasion to thank God for the lives of countless devoted Jesuit priests, seminarians, and brothers who worked in the company, the military order of Jesus, and who did so much good for the Catholic Church and for souls. And at the same time, a day for us to pray, for us to have a little bit of that spirit of St. Ignatius, of that love for the power of our Lord's name, and that zeal ourselves to do something for God's glory. You see the term zeal for thy house, fire, the fire of God's love and of zeal for his glory that runs throughout tonight's Holy Mass. Last of all, let me read to you something of a spiritual experience that our saint today had as he was laying the foundation of the Jesuit order. While preparing the altar and vesting, the name of Jesus was shown to me, says St. Ignatius. I felt great love and an increased resolve to follow him. I wept throughout the Mass, a very great devotion, and many tears, so that quite often I lost speech. All the devotion and feelings that had Jesus as their object, I said to myself, how is God the Father, Father? And how is God the Son, Son? During the prayer after Mass, I had the same feeling towards God the Son. I had desired that the Blessed Trinity should confirm my work, and now I felt it was communicated to me through Jesus. He showed himself to me and gave me great interior strength and a sense of security that the confirmation had been granted. I did not fear for the future. So it occurred to me, and I at once complied, to pray to Jesus to obtain pardon for me from the Blessed Trinity. I felt an increase of devotion, tears, sobs, and the hope of obtaining the grace, for I was quite resolute and strengthened for the future. I found there remained with me great confidence for the success of my prayer. And on these occasions, my love was so great, and I so felt and saw our Lord, that it seemed that nothing could happen in the future capable of separating me from him or of making me doubt the graces and confirmation that I had received. Indeed, St. Ignatius said once that if it were to be shown to him that his order would be destroyed, and imagine that, the work of a lifetime, so crucial for the church, it would only take him 15 minutes to resign himself to the will of God, and then to go on doing his duty as though nothing had happened. St. Ignatius of Loyola is truly a great, great saint, and we should honor him very much and pray for just a little bit of his spirit tonight at the Holy Mass. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.